Well, our first Bible reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 25-26. And you might be thinking, well, it's Christmas, what are we looking to the heavens for? Well, you shall see. They have a lot to teach us. So, here we go. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? I've lost my place. All right, here we go. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Look to the heavens. So here's your first short message. I'm going to use an illustration that I've used before, and some of you may remember it, but it fits so perfectly with what I want to say this morning, I'm going to tell it to you again anyway. But I don't know how many of you have been to the planetarium in Southend. Oh, about five or six of us. You really must go. It's wonderful. It's in the museum. It costs about a fiver. And it's very small. You can only get about a dozen people in there. And we took our grandchildren there many years ago. Evie and Joel. Simeon, I don't think, had arrived by then. And we took it to the planetarium. They sat in this small auditorium. So you could only probably get about a dozen in it. And the show they put on is always of the night sky at that time. And so they learnt all about the various constellations and the stars. And the chap that was doing it was so enthusiastic. And he engaged with all the people that were there and talked to Evie and Joel. They thought it was wonderful. And then they were staying with us for the weekend. So it was one of those lovely, clear evenings. So we said, come on. We drove out into the country where there was no street lights, no light pollution, and they looked at the night sky that they had seen earlier in the day. And they were able to point out things, different constellations, and oh, there's Venus, and so on. And they thought it was wonderful. So I said to Sue, if they enjoyed that, they would love the planetarium up at Greenwich. And so we took them out for a day in London, and we went to the planetarium at Greenwich. And it's very plush, 120 people, and this wonderful demonstration of the night sky. And the chap that was telling us was very, very good. And when we came out, I said, did you enjoy that? Oh, yes, Grandad, we did. But we preferred the one in Southend. I thought, I could have saved a fortune. But anyway, I learnt two things from the planetarium in Greenwich. This is the first one. The guy that was doing it said scientists have worked out that there are more stars in the universe than human heartbeats of every person that's ever lived. So I had a go at working that out. I probably got it wrong, but I reckon maybe there's 100 billion people have lived. I actually think that's probably more than there has. And I worked out that if you get to the age of 70, the normal person will have about 2.5 billion heartbeats in that time. So that's just one person. Now multiply that by as many people who have ever lived, and they reckon there's more stars up there than there are human heartbeats. I found that quite amazing and thought, what an amazing God we have to create all that. And then I found out later, because this intrigued me, that scientists also reckon, and I have no idea how they work this out, that there are more grains of sand on all the beaches and in all the deserts, there are more stars in the heavens than there are grains of sand on all the beaches and all the deserts in the world. I don't know how they work that out. But it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And God did all that. This is what the Bible says. Psalm 19, 1-3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. And then Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 says this, because the God who made all of that is not distant from us. And the psalmist said, when I consider your heavens, what is man that you are mindful of him? Because I don't know what we are compared to we're nothing, are we? But we are to God. He is mindful of us. And more than that, he loves us. And more than that, he sent his son for us on that first Christmas. And he is mindful of us. Actually, all of that universe was put there for our benefit, so that we might see it and know that it's God that put it there. So the whole of creation is put there for you and for me, that we might realise that it's God that made it. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at two groups of people who looked to the heavens and then hurried to find Jesus. But got your Bibles with you? Turn to Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 18. Thank you, Les.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Amen.
Thank you, Les. Come to our second short message. And I'm thinking that we are probably going to finish a little early this morning. And that gives us plenty of time to get ourselves prepared for the carol service this afternoon. But let's look at the shepherds. The shepherds looked to the heavens and then they searched for a saviour. They looked to the heavens, but it wasn't the stars that got their attention. It was angels. They were out in the fields watching their sheep. They did that every night. Nothing unusual. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. They were terrified. And I'm not surprised. We have all been frightened by things that go bump in the middle of the night. But this was something else. "Fear not." Whew. Just think those words must have meant a lot to them. They wondered what was happening. But the angel says, "Fear not." What a relief. He's friendly. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then the sky is filled with angels. Just try to imagine that. They couldn't see. All they could see was angels. What a sight. They would never forget it. So they go looking for the Saviour. They don't wait. They're off. I wonder what conversation they had on the way. If we could eavesdrop on what they were saying, what would we have heard? I suppose it's possible they were in such a rush and so excited to get to Bethlehem, they didn't have time to talk. But if they did, I'm wondering if the conversation could have gone something like this. One shepherd says, "Does all the people include us, shepherds? No one invites us anywhere." You see, they were social rejects, outcasts. Another one says, "But the angel said he was for all the people. And when he said he was born to you, he was looking at us. It must include us." Well, they get to Bethlehem and they find Jesus in the manger with Mary and Joseph, the saviour of the world, their saviour, a baby born in a smelly stable. What a night. They couldn't stop talking about it. And everyone they told was amazed. They couldn't stop talking about it. How often do we talk about the Lord Jesus? Because he is amazing. But they couldn't stop talking about it, and everyone they told was amazed. Well, that's our second short message. And now we're going to ask if Brian would come up and give us the notices. So we got to the door, we went and answered it, and they were singing Jingle Bells, which is okay. Not my favourite carol. And so I said to them, "Oh, that was lovely. Could you sing a carol that tells something about the real Christmas story?" And they looked at me and they said, "But we don't know the real Christmas story." And I'm going back quite a few years. And I said, "Well, don't you know something? Don't you know Away in a Manger?" No, they didn't know anything. They were just coming round singing to earn a few bob. So I said to them, and looking back now, I was rather mean. And when I relayed this to my youth group, they told me I was mean. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you come back tomorrow night and you can sing the first verse of Away in a Manger, I'll give you £1. And my youth said, "That's a bit mean." I said, "Perhaps I should have given them a fiver, I don't know." But they didn't come back, sadly. And I thought, how sad. They had no idea what Christmas was all about. And I thought that was sad. And I suspect since then, the situation hasn't got any better. Oh, pray for our children. We need to tell them about Jesus. They need to know there was a Saviour born on Christmas Day who loves them. And he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not." Anyway, let's move on. Our next Bible reading, Rob's going to bring it to us. As Rob comes up, it's Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Thanks, Rob.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests, teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Come to our third short message. The wise men looked to the heavens, and then they went and searched for a king. The wise men looked to the heavens because they studied the stars. It's what they did. They were amazed by the vastness of the night sky. Then they saw it, a new star. Not just any star among the billions, but a special star. His star. They got their charts out, checked, double-checked. There was no doubt. How did they know this star marked the birth of the king? Well, we're not told. But they would have known about Daniel because they were the Magi. They were descended from the Magi of Daniel's day when he was the chief Magi in Babylon. And his prophecies and the message of Daniel would have been passed on from generation to generation of wise men. And when the time came, descendants of Daniel's Magi were waiting. I'm sure they knew the prophecy in Numbers 24:17, a star will rise out of Jacob. And they would have known the other prophecies and teachings of Daniel, because Daniel was a man of God, and he always stood for God. And he would have shared with all the wise men all the prophecies of God. What we do know is this: they were so certain it was his star, they travelled hundreds of miles to find their king. But they made a mistake. They stopped at Jerusalem, where Herod's palace was. Well, I suppose it's fairly natural, isn't it? Where would you expect a king to be born? "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" they went through Jerusalem saying. Now, that's a very interesting thing. In the Bible, there are only three groups of people that called Jesus the King of the Jews, and they were all Gentiles. The first was the wise men. The second was Pilate, who had Jesus crucified. And the third were the soldiers at the cross, who all referred to Jesus as the King of the Jews. But their king was not in Jerusalem. "Bethlehem," said Herod's priests, who knew the scriptures. And they knew that Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 said that Jesus, the Messiah rather, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, I find it amazing that the priests who should have been looking for the coming of the Messiah couldn't be bothered to go the few miles to Bethlehem with the wise men to come and look for the king that the wise men were searching for. Excuse me. But these Gentile wise men would go to any lengths to find their king. So they followed the star until it stopped over Bethlehem. And they worshipped and they gave their gifts. Gold for a king. Incense for deity, because he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Myrrh for one who would die. I wonder, I don't know, did the wise men realise the significance of the gifts they had chosen? I don't know. Maybe they did. But if they didn't, they were definitely guided by the Lord to bring these three gifts. Incense, because he was going to be God, Emmanuel, God with us. Gold, because he was king. And myrrh, because he would be one who would die for us. Well, they found their king and they worshipped him. We can worship him this Christmas. I've been listening to lots of carols this week, and so has Sue. And we found some lovely, we've been on YouTube, and we found some lovely Christmas concerts and people who love the Lord singing carols. And we found them really, really moving. And this is a wonderful time of year. And although it is a sad time of year for some, let's not lose sight of the joy of Christmas. And amongst our sadness, we can still know the joy of the Saviour who loves us and died for us. Thank you. Well, Sue's going to bring us our next Bible reading, which is taken from John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Sue. Well, we've come to our last short message, and we're going to finish a bit early. When I was putting it together, I thought, have I got too much here? But apparently not. So we're going to finish a little bit early, which means you don't have to rush off. You can stay and chat and enjoy each other's fellowship. So, that leaves us with a question. What will we look to the heavens for this Christmas? What are you going to look to the heavens for this Christmas? What am I going to look to the heavens for this Christmas? for a saviour, like the shepherds. Yes, the Christ child was born to be the saviour of the world, and he was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And he was called Emmanuel because he is God with us. The shepherds couldn't get to Bethlehem quick enough to find their saviour. It was just a short journey. And some of us have had a short journey to Jesus. I remember a lady when I was at the camps one year with the children. She was the missionary on camp. And she said, "Ray, I can remember clearly inviting Jesus to be my saviour when I was 3 years old." There's no age limit, there's no lower age limit on when we can come to Jesus. So encourage our children that we have contact with to come to Jesus when they're young. I know people say, "Well, I'm just going to let them make their own mind up when they get older." Well, that's fine, they do need to make their own mind up. But much better if they can hear about Jesus when they're young. They hear so many things in the world and sadly at school. We need to tell them about Jesus. So pray for your children that you have any contact with whatsoever, your own children, grandchildren, children down the road, whoever, you pray for them. And if you get an opportunity, tell them about Jesus. They need to know, because the world will tell them all sorts of things they really don't need to know. So this lady knew she had become, given her life to Jesus when she was three. My own two children, I'm so pleased to say, came when they were 5 years old and 7 years old. So what are we going to search for this Christmas? Perhaps we're going to search for a king, like the wise men. Yes, Jesus is king. All creation belongs to him. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he would be king of each of our lives if we would invite him. Most kings demand allegiance from their subjects. But Jesus waits to be invited. How gracious is that? It was a long journey for the wise men, but nothing would stop them finding their king. My mother-in-law, Sue's mum, Gwen, she had a long journey to find Jesus. She was 73 years old when she gave her life to Jesus. And it happened here. David was preaching. And it was on Easter Sunday morning. And David said something like, "It's never too late to come to Jesus." Because Gwen had thought all her life, "I've ignored him all my life. How can I come now? That's just being cheeky." But when she heard David say that, something touched her heart. And she gave her life to Jesus that morning. And her life was totally transformed and changed. And she loved being here at Rochford Congregational Church. And she loved you all, those of you that knew her. And then I remember coming to a baptism here, and some that have been here a long time might remember too, a lady called Hazel. She was 80 when she got baptized. And remember the story, it went something like this. She was sitting at her kitchen table with the tip pills in front of her, waiting to enter life because life had no meaning. And then there was a knock on the door. It was David, actually. And he went in, and she never took those tablets. She gave her life to Jesus instead. So Hazel had a long journey. But what about us? We must look further than the shepherds and the kings. We must look to a man on a cross, to one who came from heaven at Christmas, the babe of Bethlehem. Jesus, dying for the sins of the world, the babe of Bethlehem, went to become the Christ of Calvary. But especially Jesus dying for my sin and your sin. It's why he came. Somebody has said this, and I believe it's true. If you were the only person who ever lived, Jesus would have died for you. St. Augustine put it this way. He said, God loves each of us as though there were only one of us. I'll repeat that. God loves each of us as though there were only one of us. And so Jesus died for each one of us, shepherd or king, long journey or short journey, and all in between. You're wonderfully and fearfully made by him, the Bible tells us. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your every thought, your deepest secret, yours and mine's worst sins, and he loves you with all his heart. There is nothing to stop any one of us coming to Jesus this morning. He has done it all. He paid the price on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. And there's nothing to prevent any one of us coming to Jesus. Jesus invites you this Christmas to look to him and believe he died and rose again for you. Will you this Christmas receive the greatest gift ever, Jesus, your Saviour and King? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonder of Christmas. The wonder, Lord, that the one who made all the stars and all the universe and everything that there is would be so mindful of us that he would come as a baby to be born on that first Christmas. And the babe of Bethlehem who would go on to become the Christ of Calvary, that all our sins might be forgiven, and who would become our risen Lord Jesus, that we might have life eternally with him. We give you the thanks and the praise and the glory this morning. And Lord Jesus, we pray that not one person will leave here without knowing you to be their Saviour and King. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come aside on this Sunday and sing praises to your name, the wonderful carols, Lord, that have been written for us to sing. And Lord, we pray that every one of us will know the wonderful gift this Christmas of Jesus our Saviour and Jesus our King. And may we live for him. In Jesus' name. Amen.